Welcome to Heart of the Father Ministries and the preaching and teaching ministry of Dr. David Nichols. Our prayer for you is that this message will pierce your heart and raise you into your place of destiny in Jesus Christ.
All right, I want everybody to, now when I say tonight, I want you to scream out loud. I really mean that, okay? So I want everybody to scream right out here tonight, I'm hungry, doctor!
I'm hungry, doctor!
Feed me the word now, doctor.
Feed me the word now,
doctor. All right, hallelujah. I got something cooked up for you here tonight. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord does. Because a lot of times, if you've been around in the body of Christ for a while, you know that there are certain subjects that can get people excited in certain ways. And healing is one of those. It really is. And there are all kinds of theological things that float around and doctrinal things that float around with healing. Is it God's will? Is it sometimes? Is it his permissive will? Is it his, you know, explicit will? Is it his holy will? What is it? And where is it? I'm going to try to break into that a little bit here tonight with some things I'm going to teach you. And I really believe by the time you leave here tonight, you'll have a frame of reference for what is ahead of us here, what is coming in the world, in this nation, and in the world. Because I believe that we are about to see a very, very powerful demonstration of the glory of God.
Amen.
Now, bear in mind when I say that, that I'm very educated, but I'm totally out of my mind. Okay? So you're being addressed here tonight by a guy that is out of his mind, and I'm not interested in going back in. I'm interested in getting into the mind of Christ. Amen? Amen. So what I like to do with this whole subject of healing and the will of God is I like to say, let's start from what we know for sure that is really indisputable. And then let's let things hang off from there to help us with other things where there may be some questions, where there may be issues, all that kind of stuff. So, I think everybody in the body of Christ would agree. And so I'm not preaching to you here tonight. I'm preaching to all of them out there, you know, millions of them out there in America, the larger evangelical and church world, whatever you want to call it. But you guys can listen in. It's okay. Okay. The will of God and healing. Let's start with the cross. The cross of Jesus. On that cross, Jesus shed his blood, paid the price first for our sins. Is that right? That's right. But before Jesus went to the cross, he did something else that some people think was optional. I don't think it was optional. Because so many prophecies of Scripture from the Old Testament indicated that he was going to do this, including Isaiah 53 and many others. Jesus had to stop off at the whipping post, which was not necessary for the forgiveness of our sins. Is anybody listening to me here tonight?
Amen.
The cross is the thing that takes care of that. The reason Jesus went to the whipping post is that as a specific sacrifice needed to be put in place that put many wounds on his body, because that scripture in Isaiah says, by his wounds, by his stripes, literally translated, we are healed. Hallelujah. So I would recommend tonight, no, I'm a doctor, so I'll prescribe. I will prescribe tonight that we take these two things as parallel. The cross for the forgiveness of our sins and the whipping post for the healing of our bodies. And then we're talking about the guy who did both of these things, Jesus, coming out of the tomb. We just had it here last Sunday. How many can say hallelujah to that? Hallelujah. Resurrection Sunday, hallelujah. I mean, a lot of people have said a lot of things in religious areas and relationship to God and gods and goddesses and all kinds of stuff all over humanity, all over the world. But there is one who said, I will lay my life down and I will take it up again. Hallelujah. He not only said that, he did it. Hallelujah. In matter, space, and time, he did it. For you and for me. Hallelujah. But these two together, the healing of the bodies, of our bodies, and the forgiveness of sin in our souls. Now, obviously that raises a whole bunch of questions. So let me help you here tonight. I'm here to help with questions. But first we got to get this. Yeah, Steve, if you could grab that switch over there, that'd be great. All right, let's take the subject on right face, head to head, face to face, okay? Diseases. You like it when I say it that way? Diseases. Oh, diseases, okay, yeah, right. All right, I'm going to divide them into three categories here tonight. And we are going to get to some scriptures here in a bit, but just let me warm this up. Let me massage it a little here with you and warm it up here tonight. All right? Not everything that goes wrong with the human body happens the same way. Okay? So, there are diseases and things that go wrong with our bodies that are externally caused. Oops. External causes. Several things in that category. Accidents and traumas come against our bodies and we need healing. Germs and biological things that are in the environment attack us and come at us from the outside. We need healing. Those are the kinds of things that we talk about in this first whole case here. Now, second one here is going to be internal. Look at the language carefully here, please. Internal physical causes. Things happen in the inside of us. We've got a genetic, just there's all kinds of stuff swirling around in the medical area now, genes and genetics, and there's a lot of good things that they can do with it. But you got a genetic disposition to XYZ. So here we go, boom. From the inside, this thing begins to go wrong with your body. You need healing. That would be one example. Now, these two kinds of dis-ease right here, I would suggest to you, what they need is an encounter with the power of God, with one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, maybe like gifts of healings. That's where, and both words are plural, okay? I know I've said this here before, but I will repeat it again tonight. Gifts of healings, you're everybody familiar with the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Gifts of healings is a gift. Singular is the larger gift, which is comprised of plural, multiple gifts of healings. In other words, at a moment in time, a person ministers this gift to someone, And more gifts keep coming over time until the person is completely healed. That's different from the gift of working of miracles, which is also in that same list, which is spontaneous, it is instantaneous, comes all at once, boom. When the miracle happens, in that sense of the word miracle, you get it all at once. Takes place in moments of time. So praise God. There's both ways that the Lord does it. But I would say these first two kinds here are real candidates for that kind of stuff to happen. And sometimes there's just such... Pete and I were talking about this earlier this week. There's such a sweet presence of the Lord or the manifestation of the glory of God where diseases just leave. You know, I mean, they just can't be in that amount of strength of the manifestation of the glory of heaven. Say, you say, well, how do you know that? Well, from heaven, actually. What's the big deal about heaven? Isn't it the glory of God? Amen. His presence, he's there. There's no dis-ease in heaven. Up there, there all the restrictions, all the boundaries, all the things that slow it down here are not there. That's why there's no disease in heaven. Hallelujah. So what we are doing when we do that is we are actually pulling down from heaven the conditions that prevail here and have them in part here on the earth right now. Amen? That's why Jesus taught us to pray that way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Apparently, in this present age, it is, at least in part, it is possible to have that. Now, in the age to come, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I more and more, the older I get, I mean, excuse me, the more mature I get, the more I like talking about the age to come. Now, this is when Jesus comes in the second coming, and we're caught up to meet him, and all that stuff happens, and Jesus comes to rule and reign on the earth. You realize we are going to be in transformed bodies. We're going to be in these same bodies, but they're going to be transformed. We're mortal now. We're going to be immortal then. Amen. We're going to have... Everybody just scream right out loud, what is that body like, doctor? Well, you got to look at Jesus in the resurrection body. It's going to be like his. That's what the Apostle Paul taught, that we're going to have bodies like that body of Jesus. Jesus, in that body, people say he went through walls, but I mean... going through the wall was not really the point. Jesus could just appear wherever he wanted to be. Amen. I think that'd be kind of cool. I mean, myself, boring. Hey, I want to go up and see Lloyd and Joanne. Boing, there I am in their living room. Hi, how are you? It's a body in which it's possible for you to eat, but you don't have to eat. Remember, what did Jesus do? Picked up that piece of walleye, put it right in his mouth. And he ate in the presence of the disciples. And that was to prove to them that he wasn't some spooky spirit, weird being, but that he was in a real bodily existence, yet it was transformed, right? Now here's the really awesome thing. In that bodily existence, you're going to have no pain, no disease, no aging, none of that stuff. Hallelujah. Now that's where we're going, okay, on the other side of the second coming. And that ought to get you happy and lit up here tonight. Hallelujah. But we got to get to this third area here. This is the one that we're going to focus and concentrate on. And that is fear-based diseases. Fear-based diseases. Yeah. Now, there's another controversy about healing. I can remember this, even hearing this and hearing people argue about it, even when I was a child and when I was a young man. Tell your neighbor, that's a long time ago. Go ahead, tell them. You know, is it the person's fault they got sick? Is it their issue? Is it they caused it? And or, you know, how do you process all of that? Well, I believe the reason that there is a controversy about that is that sometimes that's actually true. In these first two cases here, no. You walk across the street here and you get hit by a pickup truck. I mean, you weren't out there, you know, playing chicken in the traffic, right? It happened. You didn't want it. You didn't ask for it. Boom. So we gather around you, pray, Jesus heals you. Amen? Same thing here. Things happen. But when we come to this one over here, fear-based diseases, we have a situation, I think, that we begin to enter into where, remember where God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge? And we're going to try to fill that lack in here a little bit tonight. And do you know how many times in the Bible it says, fear not? hundreds of times in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, fear not. And yet, most of the time, fear not, right? Let's get on to something important here, you know. That's what we do so much. But wait a minute, what if we stopped and said, maybe the reason God is repeating this so much is that it's really actually very important. And so, the whole realm of our thoughts and the words that we speak out of our mouths, really, they're very important in all three of these, but they're especially important in that third one. And I want to take you to a scripture here tonight. Over in 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. How many of you love the Apostle Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't he awesome? I mean, he just lays it out there for you. You're like, here you go, boom. It's meat, it's food, it's life, it's faith that he teaches. So let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Hallelujah. Everyone scream right out loud. What is a stronghold, doctor?
What is a stronghold, doctor?
Okay, that wasn't screaming, but I'll tell you anyway. All right. A stronghold is a collection of philosophies, attitudes, and opinions that hold space inside of a person against the purposes of God. Everyone scream right out loud. Say that again, doctor! Okay. It's a collection of philosophies, attitudes, and opinions that hold space inside of a person against the purposes of God. Notice that a stronghold in and of itself is not a demon spirit, even though some of them actually take on names from demon spirits, and sometimes you need to deal with demon spirits when you're dealing with strongholds. The stronghold itself is the collection of these thoughts and attitudes and opinions and things that have collected together. They are what is occupying the space in that stronghold. And I want to tell you a little story here tonight about how I learned about strongholds. a long time ago. In fact, John, I was still teaching at North Central at the time when I learned this. Seriously, but I had been renewed. I came out of my Pharisaical coma, hallelujah, and I was awakened, hallelujah, to the spirit realm. And one day I was teaching a class, and the class wasn't about any of this that we're talking about tonight. It was a totally different subject. So nobody can say it was the power of suggestion that brought this up and so forth and so on. So I get to the end of the class and everybody leaves, and this one young man comes walking up to me at the front. He says, "Dr. Nichols, I got a problem in my life I want you to pray with me about." I'm like, okay, I don't have a class immediately following here. I got some time. Let's pray. What's the problem? And he looked me right in the eyes and he said, "Sir, the problem is lust." I looked at him, I said, "Man, it really surprises me that you say that. You just got married here a couple months ago." He goes, "Yeah, it's worse now. And my wife isn't happy." And he went on all this stuff. I said, "All right, we're going to pray." Now, he's very fortunate that he got me after my conversion for Pharisaism, okay? Because the stuff he told me, if he had caught me when I was a Pharisee, I would have just grabbed him by the ear and marched him down to the student life office, and they would have kicked him out of school. And that solves that problem, doesn't it? Not really. Doesn't really solve the problem. So we started to pray, just the two of us, in the front of that classroom that day. And we had gone on a while. First he'd pray, then I'd pray. And I'm telling you, the glory of God came in there in a remarkable way. And all of a sudden, while we're praying, I go into this vision. It's an open vision where it's, you know, open visions are like a movie. They just do. You're just watching what's going on. And so in this vision, I'm looking at this. It looks like a park. Beautiful green grass and flowers growing around in different places and beautiful trees and all this. And somehow I knew I was seeing the inside of this young man. And I'm like, okay, we got this big horrible problem here. All I'm seeing is beauty and order and all, you know. I'm like, "Lord, what's going on here?" And all of a sudden I knew I had to look to the back of this field. And there, way back in the back of the field, was this powder blue camping tent, the old style, you know, it used to be, we used to go camping with those things, you hold up with aluminum poles and bungee cords. Well, this one was, it was rickety, it had holes in it, it had dirt all over it, it was a nasty looking thing. It didn't look very strong, but it was the stronghold. I looked at the thing. It didn't fit in there with any of that I was seeing. I'm like, ugh. So I told him all that. So he's like, "Oh, man, that's it. That's the stronghold. We got to go after that." So we do. So we start praying. Now we're praying against the stronghold. And some more time goes by, and the Lord lets me go into that vision again. And I look, the grass is all there, the flowers, the trees, and all that, and there's that tent. And I'm getting intent on the tent. I'm like, I want that thing to go. And so in the vision, all of a sudden, it starts to blow this straight line wind like 70, 80 miles an hour. And the tent in that wind just, and that was the Holy Spirit, okay? The tent just gets blown flat down with the ground. And I'm like, hallelujah, now we're getting somewhere. And we were. But I kept watching. And as I watched it, the wind died down and sun came out again and the birdies started twittering again and it was all peaceful. And I'm watching where the tent was. And all of a sudden, vroom, that old tent just fills itself up with air and pops up in there, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here. This thing, the Holy Spirit just blew this thing down. So I tell him all that. He said, yeah, that's right. He said, I go into powerful times with the Lord on my own, or I go into powerful meetings somewhere, and I get some relief from this. Week and a half, 2 weeks later, boom, there it is again. It's not called a weak hold, it's called a stronghold.
Amen.
Because it has been given ground, it has been given permission at some point, and now it has multiplied itself around that, and here we go. So, I'm like, well, Lord, what do we do now? Keep praying. We prayed some more. The Lord took me into a vision, one more time that day. Three times I went into that same vision. I'm seeing the inside of him. So there I go, and there's the green grass and the flowers and the trees and all this, and there's that tent sitting back there. And I honestly, I did not know what to do. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm just sitting there in the vision. I say, Lord, I don't know what to do. We prayed, the Holy Spirit came, all this. And this voice just thunders into my spirit. Says, look in the ground under the tent. I'm like, oh. And I literally said this to the Lord. I'm not Superman. I don't have X-ray vision. But all of a sudden, in the vision, I have X-ray vision. It's cool. I mean, I'm looking through trees. I'm like, whoa, cool. You know? And I put my eyes on that tent, and I go right down on in the ground under the tent. And this is what I saw. Three huge roots, 5 feet long, the size of carrots, just growing down into the soil of his life. I'm like, ugh. I mean, they were grotesque, nasty things, but that's why the wind of the Holy Spirit, yeah, it could blow the tent flat, but those roots were not dealt with.
Amen.
And I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, give us the names of those roots. And he did. He just revealed them to us in moments of time. And I had him renounce them, each one of them by name, calling on the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. We prophetically and symbolically pulled those things up out of the soil of his life. And that day, that young man got free. Hallelujah. From a stronghold that was rooted into the soil of his life. Hallelujah. I intentionally waited about 2 or 2.5 weeks. And one day after class, when everybody was leaving, I just discreetly stopped him. I said, hey, how's it going? He says, man, it's amazing. I'm free. I don't need the junk. I don't need the videos. I don't need the junk. And my wife is happy. And I'm like, hallelujah. We just hugged each other. And he now is... for years, actually, after that, he was a youth pastor, and then he became a senior pastor of his own church in Wisconsin. God had a plan for his life.
Amen.
That had to be worked free from a stronghold being there to twist it and manipulate it and try to control and try to destroy it, because that's really what strongholds try to do. They really do. So that's verse 4. Here, that's my version of it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Hallelujah. But then there's verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There is nothing that involves you in the battle for the mind like this whole category of disease. Now, it exists here in these as well. But here, it is really a big deal, the battle for the mind. And the battle for the mind is the battle for your thoughts. If you win in the area of your thoughts, you are going to win the battle for the mind. And this is what the battle is. Are you going to truly, in your heart, your spirit within yourself, truly believe in a childlike faith, the word of God, against the word of man, against the word of the fallen part of your nature, or whatever else, demons, or whatever else is speaking? That's the question. And you see, we speak from our thoughts. That's why Satan attacks us so hard in our thoughts, because he wants our speech to be, well, there it is again. The old, whatever, the old gout is out again. It's out there manifesting. Oh, man, yeah, Dad had it, Grandpa had it, and Great-Grandpa had it. Now I got it. I guess that's the way it's going to be. All right, you keep talking like that, and that's exactly what's going to happen. The words of your mouth are very important with this. This is why it's so important to change the way you think, to align it with the Word of God, so that your thoughts are much more like God's thoughts than the carnal, human, or even demonic thoughts that are trying to invade your mind. Amen? Amen. Once again, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, very quickly, let's just talk for a minute or two here about thoughts. Tell your neighbor, it'll just take 2 minutes. Tell them that. That's a faith statement there. Okay, here's the deal about thoughts. Thoughts come from spirit beings. No other place that thoughts can originate. In the universe that you and I live in, there are three kinds of spirit beings. There's God and his holy angels. There's human beings. By the way, God is constantly producing thoughts as a spirit being. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not of harm, to give you a future and a hope, right? Yeah. We depend on that verse all the time. So God is constantly producing thoughts. Mankind, created in the image of God, is the second kind of spirit being that exists in this universe. Created in the image of God, because he produces thoughts, so can we. Look at your neighbor right in the eyes and tell him, I can produce thoughts. Be real rude here tonight. Point your finger at your neighbor and tell him, you can produce thoughts too. That's right. You can. This is what is different between us and the animal kingdom, please. Bless them. I love them. I'm an animal lover. Pastor Lloyd, I love them right on the plate, right up there with the peas, carrots, and potatoes. Just had some before I came. Hallelujah. It's really good. Bambi's grandpa, we're eating him. He's very good. Hallelujah. The third kind of spirit being is Satan, fallen angels, and demons. Every one of them is a spirit being. Every one of them is constantly having thoughts. Just like you have thoughts, so do they. They have that ability by the way they were created. And their thoughts for you are not that you would have a future and a hope. Their thoughts for you are that you will have no future and no hope. Constantly. And they're speaking. And for reasons I don't fully understand, they can speak to you and they can speak to me on any given occasion. That's why you got to have, just like Jesus in Matthew 4 and the temptation in the wilderness, you got to have your mind soaked in the Word of God. Because when Satan comes with this junk, see, I don't think when Satan came to tempt Jesus, I don't think he was wearing red long johns and had a big pitchfork in his hand. I really don't. Oh, it's the devil. Are you going to deceive me now, devil? You know? No, I think it came as a thought. Because that's where the battle really is. And Jesus said, and yes, there were words attached to it that Satan was speaking and tempting Jesus. But Jesus spoke other words that were greater and that defeated the words that Satan was speaking. And that's what you're going to do. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is in you if you are a believer. That's why I say in this day and age we live now, it is a bummer to be an unbeliever. I mean, really. You're out there in a spirit world that is filled with all these beings. You're a sitting duck. You got no defense. I mean, tell your friends, seriously, you got to come to Jesus. He's the only one that can set you free from this stuff and keep you free and keep you walking in joy, peace, and good things happening in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, that's the deal with thoughts. Now, let's talk a little bit about this whole area here, this third area of fear-based diseases. And let's take it right out of Scripture. Turns out that in this whole realm here, what goes on in your bones is very, very important. I don't know if you ever noticed how much the Scripture has to say about our bones. In our modern world that we live in, we think, well, yeah, bones, you know, they're our skeletal system. They're way more important than that. So in your Bible, turn to, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 14. I'm going to look at a few scriptures here. Proverbs chapter 14. And I've just selected a group of them here just out of this little section of several chapters of Proverbs. I would encourage you to look through the Bible and just see what is said about bones. It's amazing. But in Proverbs 14:30, it says this: a sound heart is life to the body. Now, I don't think that is first talking about your physical heart, even though if you took it that way, that would certainly convey a truth. I think it's talking about your spiritual heart within you. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. So, things are happening here tonight at several different levels, okay? There may be some of you here tonight that need what is being taught here for yourself. Many of you here tonight need this for helping other people at some future time when you come into contact with this stuff. So I'm trying to hit both levels here tonight. And envy is rottenness to the bones. Well, envy, that's just envy. He envied his brand new Corvette, okay, that's not good, but what's the big deal? Well, his bones are beginning to rot from the inside out over here in this whole thing. And believe me, Satan in his kingdom is more than willing to supply thoughts that are going to introduce fear. And fear becomes a platform from which all kinds of terrible stuff can happen in human bodies, especially when it's allowed to go on month in and month out and year out. That's usually how it works. Now, over in chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it, that is the tongue, breaks the spirit. 15:4 of Proverbs. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. every one of you in this room and myself and every other human being on the earth has had perverse speech spoken over them. And for the kingdom of darkness, what they would like to do is they'd like to get in there and amplify that and magnify that until your spirit is depressed, until your spirit is trampled on, until you are, I mean, you are going to be no threat to the kingdom of darkness at all. But a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Did you hear what's been going on in this room here tonight? In fact, I'm going to introduce such a blessing in here tonight that you're all going to be amazed. Pete, would you please turn our overhead AC on? It's getting hot up here.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're going to be blessed. I don't know. Is anybody else hot here tonight? I'm hot. All right. Yeah, put her on, please. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Blessing has been. Do you hear Pete speaking blessing? When I had him pray for the offering, he couldn't help himself.
Amen.
Hey, Pete, just pray for the offering. No, first he had to bless you. I love that. Please be aware of what is coming out of your mouth, both of what you are projecting over other people, but also what we don't pay attention to as much about what we project over ourselves. Because what you say is mightily important, according to this verse. Now, Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Sherry, would you come up here, please, and give us and tell us a story, Sherry.
Amen.
Sherry's got a story for you here tonight that I think will make this clear to you. Let me read the verse again. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken.
Some time ago, we were in a little town up in North Dakota and ministering to...
Right up to your mouth. Yeah.
Ministering to people. And this gal came up in front of me, and I asked her, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? And she kind of rolled her eyes and goes, I have fibromyalgia. Well, by this point in our ministry, I understood that I would say 100%, but probably 99% at least, people who have fibromyalgia are, it's a heart issue. I mean, emotional. Fear-based, lack of love, something like that. And I just felt impressed to reach. I asked if I could hug her or hold her, and she let me do that. And as I was holding her, I whispered a few things into her ears, like, you're beautiful, and you know how God smiles over you, and dances over you, and things like that. But mostly just help her. And it wasn't long, and pretty soon I was getting really hot. Now, he told me once, because I said, I don't know if it's the heat of the Holy Spirit or the female thing going on. He goes, if you're praying, it's probably the Holy Ghost. So I said, okay. Well, just to confirm it, after a bit, I said to her, do you feel that heat? Mm-hmm. So I just held her and just held her for a long time, just letting the Father's love pour into her. And it got so long, it felt awkward because everyone else is done praying. But I thought, well, God's doing something. I'm not going to let go until he says let go. And so probably 7 minutes, but it seemed like a long time. Well, then was it the next night or that night? The next night, she comes back and gives this testimony that she had a five-year-old son who she was in so much pain that he wanted to jump up on the bed to be with mommy. And she goes, careful, careful, you know, mommy hurts, don't do that, you know. She said for the first time, I was able to say, yeah, come on up here. She didn't hurt. She slept through the night for the first time in years. And I forget what other symptoms she told us that were gone. Well, then,
unbelieving believers.
What I mean by that is they didn't believe in healing. Healing wasn't for today. In fact, she went as far as to say, if I would have known this was a healing meeting, I would not have come.
Her husband dragged her
to the church, and he must have told her to come up front, because I don't think she would have come up on her own. And so that explained why when she came up to me, she just kind of rolled her eyes and goes, well, I have to find my way out. I'm just like, what are you going to do about it? But God did a work in her heart, and because of that, she was a testimony to her family. They could not deny that something happened. And so it's just a testimony of how God will release a person from incredible pain and fatigue and whatever else is going on in their bodies when really it was fear-based.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even know that when we're praying, but God gives you that knowledge.
Amen.
Just hold them. That's why sometimes you see me just holding on to people, because I believe God does more than just, it's more than just a hug.
It is.
It's amen. Father love hug.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen. Give the Lord some praise tonight for Grandma Sherry. Woo! Okay, one more scripture. Well, maybe two here tonight. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. And verse 22. A merry heart does good like a medicine. That is a very, very good thing. Hallelujah. Get you a merry heart. Hallelujah. It's better than taking medicine. It's God's kind of medicine. Amen? Okay, but look, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, my question to you tonight, with all these scriptures we've read here, especially these ones out of Proverbs, what if these are actually literally true? What if these aren't just, you know, some kind of, well, it's a spiritual truth somewhere up there in the atmosphere somewhere? What if this really means real things in real bodies in real time and space? I would challenge you to think that daring thought tonight, okay?
Amen.
A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. We're doing a meeting out in a town in central Minnesota a few years ago. And it was time for prayer at the end of the service, and I'm standing up in front, and this woman comes walking up to me. And this is what she says. She says, I have osteoporosis. I've been to the clinics. The doctors say I have 33% bone loss in my body. That's one third. Dude, that's like, she's lost one third of her bone. I look at her, she looks to be about 40 years old. I say to her, you're way too young for that. I would say that to you if you were 90, but she looked to be 40. Okay. And so I'm just standing there. I honestly don't really know what to do. And I'm training you right now too. Do you know that there are times when the Holy Spirit will just speak directly through you? I mean directly, where you're not even processing it with your processor. So I just, for a few moments, I stood there, and all of a sudden I opened my mouth, and this is what I heard myself say. This verse. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. She looks at me with this very puzzled look. She goes, what, really? Is that in that second part of that verse? She said, I quote that first part of that verse all the time. Does it say a broken spirit dries the bones? I go, get your own Bible, read it yourself. It's Proverbs 17:22. She pulls her own Bible off the chair. She goes, ah, there it is. Now I step forward. I lay my hand on her head. I prayed maybe a 30, 40 second prayer. Boom, she hits the deck. Hallelujah. Hey, we've had a little upsurge in this lately, Pastor Lloyd. It's been fun. People falling down when we pray for them. It's been a while. I mean, you know. Everyone scream right out loud. Why do they fall down, doctor? Because they can't stand up. Everyone scream right out loud. Why do they jerk and shake, doctor? Because they can't hold still. And you know, that stuff doesn't have to happen to you. I mean, you saw us pray for people here tonight. That didn't happen. Doesn't happen every time, but sometimes it does, and it's awesome when it does. She laid on that floor for an hour. I timed it with my watch. And I didn't get to talk to her at all that night when she left, but so this was a multi-day meeting. So next night she comes to the service, and I ask for testimonies. And she gets up, and this is what she says. All day long today, I've had this sensation in my body of my bones growing. They're getting bigger. She says, I don't know how else to explain it. It's a pressure, but it doesn't hurt. It's a good pressure. They're getting bigger. And we're like, whoa, hallelujah. Now, here's the really cool part. I went back there a year later, same place. I'm walking in the foyer of the church before the first meeting starts. She comes walking up to me. She's holding her fingers like this. I go, what is this? She doesn't say hello. She doesn't say, how are you? Anything like that. She's got this. I go, what is that? She says, that, sir, is a zero. That's how much bone loss I have in my body now, according to 3 clinic checks with the doctors. Hallelujah! But you know what is happening in common here? As a common theme is emerging here, all of you investigators here tonight, there's a theme that's coming forth in what Sherry, several things that I shared. Father's love. It's really, really a big deal in this whole third class of stuff that goes wrong with us. In fact, I mean, this would just be a kind of an impression over the years. Sherry and I have been doing this for 19 years now, but I would say of those kinds of diseases, we've seen more of them heal just by holding the people in our arms and just letting the Father's love just come and land on them and settle into them. And it's okay to say stuff. Like Sherry said, it's okay to say things as the Lord gives you things. But there's a reason for that. And this is our last scripture here tonight in the book of 1 John. Chapter 4, it's really the theme verse of our ministry. Has been for 19 years now. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. He made the first move. And because of the revelation of Jesus, that he would come down here out of heaven and be born as a baby and grow up to be a man and do these two things that we said when we started. Go to the whipping post for our diseases and go to the cross for our sins. You think of the spiritual. It didn't seem like it at the time, but the spiritual genius of that in the mind of God. Either one of those by itself would have been a totally amazing... If there could be some religion other than Christianity that could say, hey, we got the answer to the body, or we got the answer to sin. If they just had one of them, I mean, it'd be... But we got both of them.
Amen.
In Jesus. But Jesus, if you listen to him as he speaks in the Gospels, is always talking about the Father. Especially in the Gospel of John, but the other ones too. And you'd almost think the two of them are crazy about each other. The Father and the Son. And they are. And that the Father would allow all the diseases, all of the sicknesses, all the woes and pains to be put on Jesus at the whipping post first, and then go to the cross, and all of the sins and all the rebellions and all the corruptions and lies and everything you can imagine put on Jesus there. You have to come away from that saying, there must be a pretty, pretty amazing love in this Father for the 7.5 billion people that are on this planet. And it is. It's unconditional love. Now let me explain something to you about this love. Love is not the same thing as grace. Love is his acceptance of you. Love is his feeling toward you and his the way he sees the future for you. It's all good, it's all wonderful, it's all great. Grace happens when you accept that love and you turn and you repent and you begin going in the other direction. God loves every single person on this planet. Radically and unconditionally. Huh. And yet every day thousands of them go to hell. He doesn't love them less. They haven't entered into grace. They haven't taken the freely given gift. It's not for a lack of love. It's for a lack of obedience. It's for a lack of a willingness to hear what Jesus said when he began his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what it is. Change the way you think, change the direction you're walking, and start going the other way. That's what it is. There's no greater love that anybody could have for you than someone who would tell you that. And that's what Jesus told. And then you go into this great overflow of how this all works out with diseases and healing, and you're, oh my word, it's almost overwhelming. How that unconditional... And this is the question... God loves you this much, now what are you going to do? He's already done his big part. Are you going to do your little part? And are the two of you going to get into a partnership and a cooperation together? That's really the question. So let's stand up here tonight. And in just a minute I'll have the worship team come back, but first let's have our praying team, Sherry and Pastor Lloyd and Joanne and Pete. Why don't you guys join me up here, up in front here. And if you want prayer tonight, and worship team, you can come now too, actually. Just however the Spirit leads you. If you just want to play, if you want to sing something softly, that's great too. After all of this, you realize you need some of this. I just have a feeling here tonight that there may be some people here tonight, you need to turn and come back. you've been going in a direction that is not going to lead you to eternal life. And it's the love of the Father that pulls you back. But you got to come to grace. And if that's you, when you come up here, just let us know that. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to help you pray your way into that. Others of you may need to be healed here tonight of different ailments. And we just declare open season tonight on all three. Now, we're not limiting this just to this. I just gave a more detailed explanation of this tonight. But we declare because of the stripes and wounds of Jesus, all of this can be healed. And this especially with the download of the Father's perfect love. So, you guys, if you'd take it, and if you need prayer, you want prayer, just come on down. There's people here to pray with you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.